Before we address our first reading, I'd like to review a little bit of the history that Isaiah covers. It covers over 200 years, from the year 733 to 525 BC. Now, Isaiah only lived for maybe 50 of those years, and then he either prophesied the rest, or more likely, other prophets inspired by God wrote in his name. And what was written was of Israel's journey, a journey of purification, a purification of the sins that they committed, the moral breakdown of Judah and Jerusalem. They're turning away from God. During this time, Isaiah himself warned them of what would happen. But they did not listen. They did not change their ways. And they were attacked by the Assyrians, and then by the Babylonians, who took them into captivity. They were being disciplined. They were being disciplined by God. And God was disciplining them because they did not follow his laws. In our second reading, St. Paul tells us that God disciplines those whom he loves. God was disciplining the Israelites, allowing them to suffer so that they could be purified. Now, God doesn't discipline to cause us pain, but to help us grow, to help us see the truth, to help us live in the truth. The Israelites had been given the Ten Commandments as boundaries. And we, as the new Israel, God's chosen people, we also have the Ten Commandments as our boundaries. Bishop Barron, in one of his talks, spoke beautifully of a river, a flowing river. And when it is within its banks, it is directed, it is alive, it's going somewhere. The river's banks are boundaries, boundaries that keep it flowing where it is supposed to go. Without the banks, the river will have no direction. It will cease going anywhere. It will become a vast, open stretch of water, stagnant and not growing. Going back to our first reading of Isaiah, we heard that God knows our works and our thoughts, and he has gathered all of us to see his glory, and he has given us a sign. Jesus Christ foretold all the way back in the book of Isaiah. Now, Jesus tells us that to enter heaven, we must enter through a narrow gate. A narrow gate has very definite boundaries. And to live life to its fullest, we too must have boundaries. G.K. Chesterton, that great British author, theologian, Catholic convert, tells a story of a group of children playing with a ball on a ledge. And the edge of this falls off into a deep, dark abyss. But at the edge of the ledge, there is a huge, thick wall, which is built to protect these children from the edge. And the children play with that ball. They play freely. They play with great joy, running, throwing, kicking, screaming, laughing, having a great time. But you remove that wall, and they no longer will play. They won't play freely. They'll fear losing their ball into the abyss, or they will fear losing themselves. Boundaries sometimes feel like they restrict our physical, our moral, our intellectual, our spiritual freedoms. Shouldn't we be able to do whatever we want? We certainly hear that in the world today, don't we? But a life lived without boundaries is going to be open to anything and everything. It'll be open to fear, which is the root of all sin. It will not direct us to what is good. It will not direct us to that narrow gate. Our God is love. And a Christian life is always guided by that love. We only have true freedom. Freedom to do what is right, as long as we walk that narrow path, on that path with boundaries that we all need.